Well, good evening. My name is Tovar Sandoval, and I have a new life in Christ. Not one that has already been made perfect, but like Philippians 3:12 says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I consider myself fortunate to have grown up in the church. From a young age, I attended service and Sunday school in my hometown at First Baptist Church of Mansfield. If I had to describe my younger self prior to knowing Christ, it could easily be done. I was a punk. I won't get into details, but let's just say I was the kid who learned to curse in kindergarten. I thought I was so cool. My teachers, on the other hand, must have thought I was the devil. All the while, I still attended Sunday school and learned Bible stories, but to me, they were only stories. And although my parents weren't believers, they decided to take my sister and I to services anyways. It was the summer after my seventh grade year that I went to church camp for the first time. I noticed the joy that other kids had when they would sing. They weren't just having fun, but they actually enjoyed what they were singing. I knew I wanted the same joy and decided to give my life to Christ. I wish I could say it was an immediate change, but like anything, it took time for me to break my habits. I mean, I had been cursing for 8 years, which was more than half of my life at the time. Thankfully, as I continued to trust God with my life, he helped me stop cursing in about a year's time. I continued to pursue God throughout high school, learning guitar along the way, and playing in my youth praise band. I graduated high school in 2002 and went away to Kilgore Junior College, where I didn't know anyone. I was at a crossroads and had the opportunity to choose to continue to follow God or to rebel and live a different life. But because I grew up in church, I knew that life apart from Christ was empty and void, or so I had heard. So I chose to be faithful and immediately became involved with campus ministries and even led worship at the local Baptist church. From there, I went to Dallas Baptist University, where I continued to walk with Christ. It was in the summer of 2007 when I got the chance to follow my dreams, and I joined a Christian praise and worship band in Nashville, Tennessee. It was there I would meet my ex-wife. Her name is Amanda, and she was already friends with the band, and of course, we became friends. But it took a while for her to warm up to me. To be honest, she thought I was a nerd. She was a southern girl from Alabama who had gone to a missionary Bible college in Michigan, and I was attracted to her faith just as much as I was attracted to her looks. That first year with the band, we traveled 150 to 180 days out of the year, touring mainly in the southeastern U.S. It was one of the best experiences of my life. The second year with the band, we got the opportunity to move to Roanoke, Virginia, to start a college young adult ministry while we still toured. Amanda decided to also come along, and that is when we started dating. We dated for a year, got engaged, and we were married on January 31st of 2009. We moved back to Texas that summer so I could finish at DBU, and upon graduation, I started working for an upscale hotel brand in Las Colinas, and work was my new focus. Marriage was still great, but I had made some sacrifices along the way and was determined to show upper management that I was willing to do whatever it took to move up. That meant me working overtime and taking a temporary overnight position at the hotel. Over the next 2 years, I had received two promotions and was now working in Fort Worth. My wife had taken my old position at the front desk and then moved up quickly after transferring to the sales and catering department. So we both worked long hours and we were not part of a church body. We both knew Jesus, but he was no longer the center of either one of our lives, and this is one of the main reasons our marriage failed. We had traded him for success in our careers, and our marriage took a hit because of this choice. She became lonely and depressed, and just before we hit our 3-year anniversary, she decided she wanted to separate in December of 2011. In response, all I could say was, it's okay, I'll be here whenever you figure it out, whatever it is you need to figure out, and I'm not going anywhere. I leaned heavily into God over the next few months and did everything I could to try and win her back. We went to a few counseling sessions, but she just didn't want to continue. I couldn't make her love me or even make her want to stay. She became distant, and I became a sad, lonely, depressed shell of a man. From the outside, you wouldn't know I was depressed, but inside I was torn. I searched for relief and medicated my depression by staying busy and going out with womanizing coworkers who live for the city nightlife. Each night, I went home alone, and this, too, left me feeling empty and depressed. She mentioned divorce multiple times, and each time I would say no. It was something that I was not going to do, and I wasn't going to give up on her. I continued to lean more and more into God and knew she would come around at some point. God had revealed two distinct verses that became my strength and encouragement during this difficult time. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4 talks about God being the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we are comforted by God. Daily, I would ask God to comfort me, and daily he was faithful. Also, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 reminded me not to lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I knew that in the grand scheme of eternity, this was only a light momentary affliction, and it was preparing me for glory. Although I didn't fully understand God's ways in preparing me to be in his presence for eternity, I was faithful to trust in God's sovereignty and provision. In the summer of 2012, when we were still separated, I was in Denver for work, and I missed her. I still loved her, and I was curious about what she was doing in life. Of course, I would stalk her Facebook to see if any updates, but I took it a step further and remembered her email password. I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I just wanted to know about her and her life. And not that it made it okay, but what I would uncover next struck me deep in my heart. I found a string of emails with a guy she had been in contact with and mentioned about how they were moving in together. I fell to my knees in my hotel room and begged God to not let it be true. I prayed for a solid hour on my knees with my face to the floor and tears streaming down my face. God then gave me the courage to call her, and she told me exactly what I didn't want to hear. She had had an affair, and they were moving in together. My world was shattered. I felt betrayed and broken. I was at another crossroads. I could choose to continue to trust God and lean into him with all that I had, or I could choose to live for myself and chase after anything my heart desired, which would have included a successful career, money, and women. But my heart knew too much. All those years growing up in church, the Holy Spirit kept reminding me that if I chased after anything else, I would just end up empty and unsatisfied. I leaned into God. Not saying that relying on him was always easy. There were days when I was an emotional wreck. I was struggling financially. My job performance decreased, and I just wanted to go my own way, believing that I deserved to be happy. There were days I didn't want to talk to God or anyone for that matter because I just wanted to sit in my despair. But thankfully, God led me to Watermark. He used his word and his people to speak truth into my life, which led me out of my depression and into a routine that helped me develop healthy practices that would prepare me for the healing process. So how did I move on? James 1:5 tells us that if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give generously to you. So I asked for wisdom. Before I even knew of the strategies suggested in tonight's video, God was pulling me out of my depression. I exercised rigorously, I had accountability, I continued to connect with the body of Christ at Watermark, and I started serving and helping others. I had lived so long putting myself first, God had to bring me to a place of humility. C.S. Lewis says that true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. When I took the focus off of myself and what had been done to me, it allowed me to serve others, giving me a spirit of thankfulness as opposed to a spirit of depression. The last half of 2012 brought immense growth in my walk with Christ, and even though my wife was getting further and further away, I was continuing to work on myself for the moment she decided to return. That moment never happened, and after over a year of separation in March of 2013, we were divorced. I continued to attend Watermark and learned that even though I was divorced, since my ex was a Christian, there was still hope for her to repent and return. I knew without a doubt that she was a believer and had drifted, so I knew that God could always change her heart. It didn't matter if she was living with someone. She knew Jesus, she knew the truth, and I knew there was always hope as long as she was alive and as long as she wasn't remarried. So I remained faithful and continued to pray for her, not that we would get back together, but that she would be first reconciled to Christ. She was still his, and if she would only return to her first love, that is Jesus, then maybe she would turn to her second love, that was me. I knew it was only a matter of time before she reconciled to Jesus and left the guy, or that she would eventually marry him, so I waited patiently. It wasn't long after that I learned that she had decided to get remarried. My journey was certainly not perfect. I got into an unhealthy relationship with a girl before I completed the healing process, and it only prolonged my recovery. She ended up cheating on me with 3 different guys, and once again, I was heartbroken, but it was my own fault for looking for life where there was no life instead of leaning into the one who would never fail me. I was now ready to surrender. I give up, God. Just help me to move on and heal my heart. And this is how I ended up at Divorce Care at Watermark. Soon after, I moved to Fort Worth, and God continued to use me and my gift of music over the next few years as I served at Watermark Fort Worth. He allowed me to lead worship for kids and student ministries at the Fort Worth campus. I've also been blessed to lead worship for other ministries in Fort Worth, as well as ministries like Divorce Care here in Dallas. God continues to bless me the more I rely on his strength and his wisdom. And as I finish, let me remind you of one more thing. God is perfect and God is faithful. When we place our hope in anyone or anything other than God, we will be sadly disappointed. Even the people who weren't supposed to disappoint us will fall short at some time. When we place our hope in our parents, our spouse, our kids, our jobs, our finances, our government, and ourselves, and they will always fall short of the one who never fails and who is always there. He is always faithful. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Thank you.